It's 10 past nine, Racing HQ, and a big welcome into our Sky Sports Radio studio here, Jim Pumper Cassidy. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you. It's been sort of like a whirlwind tour this last couple of weeks, hasn't it? Since you announced us and shocked us all that you were retiring at the end of the Melbourne Cup Carnival.
Yeah, look, it was the right time to make the decision, and just a nice way to finish off down at Flemington over the carnival.
Great opportunity for our New South Wales and Sydney folk to come out to Rose Hill on Saturday. I know you're probably modest. I know you are. You're cheeky, but you're modest. But they're putting such a big day for you, the Australian Turf Club, with a big luncheon, I know, and the opportunity for our listeners to come along and grab a photo and an autograph and hear words from Jim Cassidy.
Yeah, look, I'm very honoured that they're doing it. It's been a great home for me, Sydney. I've had a lot of fun, a lot of success, a lot of great times, great memories, and obviously Saturday will be a sad day for me, but there'll be great memories. And from stewards to strappers to trainers to owners to, you know, my fans out there that have supported me throughout a long career in Sydney. Yeah. I'll be out there nice and early to shake hands and sign a few autographs and just say thanks to the people that have supported me.
We'll give some details of what you're actually doing a little while later. But have you been blown away with the reaction that it received once you announced that you were retiring?
Yeah, very much overwhelming. I didn't think I was that well liked out there.
No, you are, Papa. You are. Yeah, I think what it's been has been those ring-a-ding-dings and all that sort of stuff. You've always got one line as ready to go.
Well, I was actually having a look on the Facebook last night at a few quotes that I've come out with over the years, and you know, the ring-a-ding-ding thing was good. Nice to have a bit of fun. You know, I mean, to say we're out there, fellow competitors and the girls all doing a tough job. A dangerous job, yeah. And it's always nice to come home. So it's always nice to have a little bit of fun at the races at the same time and don't be boring. And that's what I've enjoyed, being a bit of a character. And as I say, I've always said I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but you can get out there and have fun with the public and trainers and owners at the same time. Yeah. So that's what it's all about. Enjoy the day when you're there.
Look, people remember Kiwi for the obvious, and we'll talk about that in a moment, and they remember Might and Powers wins and things like that. Are there other wins within your riding career that you think, gee, I'm glad I was there to be a part of it or rode that horse or something that we probably haven't been thinking of?
Yeah, look, I suppose...
I know there's probably a lot.
Yeah, the Mighty Rough Habit, I mean to say, three Doomben Cups, two Stradbrokes, Hollandale Cups. He was able to win in Sydney, Brisbane and Melbourne, all at weight for age. Mm. He went overseas and raced in two Japan Cups, raced in America. So it just goes to show what a great, tough champion horse he was. Mm. To travel anywhere state to state is hard. New Zealand, Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne. And John Wheeler, credit to him, to keep him in one piece for so long at the top level.
Yeah. Consistently, he used to turn up in Brisbane and be, you know, obviously a year older, or a year older, or a year older, but he just continued to produce.
Yeah, like he was a freak. So, and then, you know, a special moment, Diatribe winning the Caulfield Cup for the great man George Hanlon. I rode my first Melbourne Cup ride was for the great Mr. Hanlon, and I end up forming a great association with him over a number of years. And then the race that eluded him for so many years was the Caulfield Cup. And I remember ringing up after he ran third in the Turnbull, and I said to me manager at the time, I said, gee, I think this horse can win the Caulfield Cup. And we got on him, and he was able to do that. So it was a terrific effort. He came from last, never left the fence. And,
yeah. And that was the day where George had a fall as well, and the famous photos of him with bandages and band-aids all over his head because he'd had a fall.
Well, I think
all of us in the bandyard have thought, what the bloody hell's happened to you, George?
Yeah. Well, I seen him obviously before he went out, and he said do this and do that, and we had our game plan, and it come off. And then when I come back in, he had stick and blasters all over him and bandages around his head. I thought someone had tried to knock him out or something.
Yeah. But no, he was a great trainer, wasn't he?
Oh, marvellous man. Marvellous horseman. You know, you could put him in the category of, you know, the great Barton and Tommy. And he had a unique way of, I was out there one day at his, on his property, and he chased a few horses around with the car.
With the car beside him. It'd be a big open paddock, and he'd have this little white sort of ute, and he'd drive along beside them.
Yeah, that's how he used to clock them, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty just how quick they're going.
Pretty easy to pick out the fast ones then.
Yeah, no, exactly. Now, I've got plenty for Jim, but listeners, we urge you to be a part of it. Don't leave the run late, because we often get calls between 9:45 and 10:00, and then we can't get them to wear, Jim. So people that would love to have a chat with you, there'd be plenty of people out there. They can ring 13 53 53, and you can get straight online and have a word here with the pumper. 13 53 53. I know you were probably toey for your last couple of meetings, but were you one that got nervous going to any race meeting, or were you one that had confidence whatever you were doing going to a race meeting, whatever horses you were riding?
Yeah, look, you had to take your game face, your game plan, and be focused. No matter what price the horses were in the betting, go out and attack every day as if it's a Melbourne Cup day or a Melbourne Cup race.
Yeah.
I was a bit toey over that last week, obviously.
Yeah.
With the announcement coming out and a couple more meetings to go. But I still went through the same routine. I still sauntered every day and done my training and turned up. And obviously we didn't have a lot of luck, but that's racing. And I was still putting in 100% and really enjoying that last week.
The mateship between all the jockeys, you would have seen a change in the 34 years or 30, was it 34 or 32?
Nearly 34. I think I rode at Flemington. Well, I'd been riding through that Flemington Carnival for nearly 33 years. I think I had my first in the Melbourne Cup in 82, and then I won it in 83. Yeah.
Okay, so you'd ridden in one Melbourne Cup before Kiwi.
Yes.
I was trying to find that out this morning. And
Amarant for George Hanlon.
Okay, for George. Okay. Mm. You rode for so many, with jockeys. The brigade changed in that 30 years. I mean, it must be fascinating sometime just to sit down and really think about who your mates have been through the all of your riding career.
Yeah, look, I was really lucky. I came to Sydney in 84, and there were some great jockeys.
Yeah.
You know, you sit back and think from Johnny Marshall to Peter Cook, Ronnie Quinton, Mick Dittman, Larry Olsen. Kevin Langby was nearly retiring, and I think Billy Kamer was still riding, having one or two when I arrived in Sydney. But I think that was a great stepping stone for me. I learnt a lot.
Yeah.
I remember my old boss, Patrick Campbell, saying, well, when you get to Sydney, do what you've always done, use your eyes, use your ears, and
learn.
And learn and keep watching and try and keep your mouth shut. I didn't do that very good, but I had a lot of fun talking.
You did. And you're still not afraid of saying things. 13 53 53, have your chat with Jimmy, as Margaret has done. Morning to you, Margaret.
Hello.
Good to talk to you, Margaret. What about, we've got Jim in the studio.
I know, he's my favourite jockey.
Good morning, Margaret.
I come from Singleton.
From Singleton? Beautiful.
Yeah.
A beautiful area. Now, tell us, what made you, how do I get this? You're a fan. You're the number one fan, I've been told, of Jim.
I am. I tell you what, I've followed every horse he rode I backed.
Well, I hope you've ended up winning, Margaret.
I definitely have.
Good on you, Margaret. I hope you're a long way in front, darling.
I am. Thanks, Jim, for all the memories. You're a terrific rider and a guy. I really liked you. I was upset when you retired.
Oh, thank you, darling. I really appreciate your support, and I hope you've had as good a ride following me as I've had out on all the tracks throughout Australia, and it's been wonderful.
I did. I watched every race you rode in.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic, Margaret. I don't know whether you're going to get the chance to go to the races, Margaret, on Saturday, but
no. No, I'm 70 now,
yep.
And I've had my back operated on, so I can't go far at all.
No, well, look, you enjoy it. Find another jockey you can follow. There's plenty of good ones out there, Jim, isn't there?
Get on that little Kiwi bloke, James McDonald. Follow James.
Yes,
stick with the Kiwis. He'll keep that flag flying now the pump is gone.
Jim, isn't Zach Purton your son-in-law?
He is. He's a good boy, Zach. He's riding very well in Hong Kong, and I'll look forward to Zach and Nicole eventually returning back to Sydney one day, and I'll be able to get some of that money of his on the golf course by then, hopefully.
Good on you, Margaret. Thanks for phoning in.
Can you send me your autograph, for me?
I will do that, darling. If you drop a leave a number here with the
we'll put you back to the producer, and we'll get an address, and we'll send one out to you, Margaret.
That'll be great. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Margaret.
Good on you. Bye bye, Margaret. Joining us there, 1353 53, and I don't want to embarrass Margaret or yourself, but I'm going to. But you have got that legion of followers, Jim. I don't know whether you realised it's a massive one. People followed you because you had the knack. You had the knack of getting one sort of leading and controlling the pace and then finding in the straight. You had the knack of doing that, Pumper.
Yeah, look, you had to be able to do that. Horses are all limited to races they can win, but you get them bowling along out in front and on that high cruising tempo, and especially knowing the likes of Gay and that train their horses to race on speed and love to run at that high cruising speed. It's a great feeling to be able to get them to run along at speed and then find something under pressure when you really want it. And that's the difference. They're all limited where they can win, and they can win in the right race, whether it's big or small. But getting them to have that fight to lift when you really need them is very special.
Yeah, it is. It must be. Now, in all the guests that we've had, the switchboard has never lit up like it is right now. So I think that tells us how popular you are as a person. Now, we have the New South Wales Racing Minister online, and I'll get Troy on, and then we'll go to the board. Now, 1353 53 is the number. You can dial in and have your chat with Jim, but let's go to the New South Wales Racing Minister, Troy Grant. Morning to you, Troy.
Good morning, Andrew, and good morning, Pumper.
Good morning, Troy.
Troy, you would have watched Jim as just a person growing in and following racing, someone very special on the horse.
Oh, absolutely. And look, I had a great delight in saying congratulations to Jimmy down at Melbourne Cup Day down there, and just telling him what a wonderful career he's had and congratulating him on outstanding achievements. And unfortunately for Pumper, I've been watching him since I was about five.
You're not giving your age away though, Troy, eh?
I'm only 45, so how you going, Pumper?
Geez, you look younger than that when I seen you at Flemington.
Oh, yeah.
When I said you're 45.
The older I feel.
Now, the reason for the call is obviously on tax parity. We're here to talk to Jim, but we can't ignore this. Jim, the prize money hopefully will improve, but Troy, the participants all around the state with the influx of money through the tax parity now that it will become kinder for racing, the participants, the facilities is going to improve right across the board, Troy.
Yeah, exactly right, because you can't just – if you treat one aspect of it, it doesn't fix the entire industry or give it that sustainability. You've got to look after the whole breadth of the industry, and that means the infrastructure, the jobs associated with it. The operations of race clubs, the track infrastructure, the training rooms and the jockeys rooms and all that type of thing. Particularly, and Jimmy will understand this, with the amount of female jockeys coming on the scene, the lack of the facilities for them to even change in, particularly in country areas, is a big issue. So you have to make investment across the whole industry, because it makes the whole industry stronger and better, and it's more sustainable, but it then gives the broader economic uplift, and that's been the real rationale why we've got him behind this change.
This will come in over, say, the next 5 years, won't it, to get to a level that we currently would match Victoria, if there's going to be some comparison made. But we're in New South Wales, and we want the good things for New South Wales. Am I right in saying it's the next 5 years?
That's correct. So it's a step down ratio of money flowing, with an ultimate uplift into the industry of $90 million every single year in additional money for the length of the New South Wales government at this point, unless another government changes it. But it's a balanced approach in relation to the investment. There's an upfront payment that's coming in on the 1st of January, so the cash flows straight away. And with consultation with the industry, they all seem happy with it. There's been some questions about, is this just New South Wales racing for thoroughbreds? No, it's across the three codes.
Yep.
So there's money across the three racing codes, which is important.
It is. Very much, I mean, you're a country MP, but the country championships, the overall championships, were fantastic on earlier this year. You're very keen, and I guess you've had some discussion with Peter Volandis, John Massara, about say this $90 million on where it could go. Have you done that, Troy?
Yeah, absolutely. I've done that with each of the three codes, and it's in relation to them having an annual strategic plan that is tabled in the Parliament as part of the statutory requirement. So the industry understands where the money's being invested. As the Racing Minister, the amount of discussion and points of view about where the money should be invested and which part is a priority in that, that's the biggest bone of contention that we have out there. So this is advantageous for the guys that run racing to have a clear conversation and a plan for the industry so they understand it, so the industry can see where the Racing New South Wales want to take the industry more broadly and have their say through the representative bodies back. So we have a better connected industry. We have the industry talking to each other so sectional interests don't dominate, but we have the whole industry in a conversation and the money going back to benefit everybody, and that's the purpose of this.
Yeah, understand. No, look, it's a major coup for the three racing codes, long-term $90 million to come in. You mentioned the different sections. People want prize money to be lifted. Other people want facilities to be improved at their racetracks, whether it be any of the three codes. It's now the job of the three bodies to work out exactly where they'd like to use this money going forward. Troy, we thank you for... I know you've come out of a meeting with the Premier to have a chat with us this morning. It's a big congratulations to the government in putting this all together with the racing codes, because it's a major incentive now for people to be in our racing industry going forward.
Yeah, no, you're right, Benson. It's about all those issues. It's about prize money. It's about the infrastructure investments, even about governance and support of each of the employment areas within racing as well, and that's what we're focused on, and very proud to be part of it. And Mike Baird asked me to pump on. Congratulations to you as well, Jimmy.
Thank you so much.
No,
thank
good
you
on
very
you.
Much.
Thanks a lot, Troy.
Thank you.
Troy Grant joining us there, the New South Wales Racing Minister. And, you know, people, Jim, talk about prize money instantly. Who knows? I don't know. And it will come out over the next few weeks, you would feel, and maybe sooner than that, that what the racing bodies will do with this extra money. I think facilities is number one. I think Troy is probably driving that very solid, that the country areas, the on-track facilities, whether it be grandstands or the tracks themselves, they need to be upgraded.
Well, I think that's the main thing, is obviously facilities for the ladies and for the jocks throughout Australia.
Yeah.
Jockeys' rooms have got to be... they've got to be tidy. The food places have got to be nice and organised. And then number two, which is really one of the main things, is the tracks.
Yeah.
There must be money put back into tracks.
Yeah.
Without good racetracks, safe facilities, we're going to have horses breaking down. Trainers find it hard enough now patching up horses, so we must have money spent on racetracks.
Yeah, understand. 13:53:53. We're going to take a little break, and then we've got basically half an hour. I'm going to do something very unusual this morning, Jim. We normally have expert tips from the callers and whatever for race meetings today around this time. We're going to hold them over for about 15 minutes till about 9:45, and we'll do them then, because I reckon people want to talk to you at the moment. So you can call us now to be a part of chatting with Jim Cassidy. 13:53:53. Do it right now. Just coming up to 9:30 here with Jim Cassidy, 13:53:53. We do have a lot of callers, so we'd urge everyone to keep it short and bright and just the way you normally act, Pumper.
Yeah, in and out, short and quiet, and never say much. Get in and get out. Get the job done.
I was only just thinking, you mentioned about your success. You brought up your 100th Group 1 in Melbourne. You finished in Melbourne. You've got to give Sydney a big send-off on Saturday, Papa.
Oh, really looking forward to Sydney on Saturday.
Yeah.
We've got the room upstairs, got a 100-odd friends and family and all my nephews and whatnot. All the kids are coming out to spend the day, so I'm really looking forward to
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic. Let's go to George as we get into these callers. 13:53:53. Morning to you, George.
Morning, Ben. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. The pumper's here for you.
How are you, George?
This is from me. I love you, Jimmy.
Hello, Georgie. How are you, mate?
Good, sir. Just tell Ben's we've been blessed. Two JCs on earth. Jimmy, Jesus Christ and Jimmy Cassidy.
Yeah.
Well, they said my initials, JAC, stood for just all class.
You are, Jimmy. You're all class. I love you.
Thank you, George. Enjoy, mate.
What made him special for you, George?
Oh, mate, nobody pumps like him up the road.
Yeah. That's it. It's something that...
Ben, a champion.
Yeah, no, he is. He is a champion for sure. Good on you, George. Thanks for your call in, mate.
Thank you, George.
Bye, Jimmy.
George, there, the Christmas tree's starting to light up here, 13:53:53. We'll see whether we can get a couple of these zooming through. Let's go to Mick. Good morning to you, Mick, on Racing HQ.
Yeah, g'day, Ben. G'day, Pumper.
Morning, Mick. How are you, mate?
Yeah, mate, a great little story. I wonder if you remember, I've been working up in the mines in Hunter Valley for a lot of years now, but I used to work for Lee Friedman as a young fella, and must be 20 years ago, I suppose, and I looked after a handy horse called Bush Padre.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I strapped him in the Caulfield Cup. You run fifth on him.
Yep.
And I remember when you come back to Scale, it was a great thrill. You come back to Scale, and I was chatting to you about it. You said he'd be a nice horse next season. And I said, any chance I could get that saddle cloth off you, Jim? And your words to me, I'll try and get it to you, mate, and I'll even sign it for you. And then sort of a week later, after working in the stables, Lee Freeman's come up to me and give me the saddle cloth with J.A. Cassidy on it. And it was, I've still got it to this day, mate.
Nah, good on you. That's great.
One other thing, too, was great. If Jimmy Cassidy ever rode the first winner in town, you always back him in the last race because he always used to get the bookend. So, yeah, mate, good on you, champion. Great career.
Yeah.
Thanks, champ.
Hey, Mick, do you mind if you give us your surname?
Lil,
L-I-L-L. I was thinking of someone else, but good on you, Mick. Thanks for giving us a call this morning, mate.
Good on you, Mick. Good on you, Pumper.
Thanks so much, buddy.
Bush Padre, he was a nice horse too,
wasn't
he?
Yeah, he was a good nice little horse, yeah. A lot of luck for Freedy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to say a Goorey horse. Was he a Goorey horse?
I think he was, yeah.
Those red and black stripes?
Red and black stripes,
yeah, exactly.
Mr. Kawanko?
Yeah. You've ridden for so many different owners. I mean, obviously, two that come to mind are John Singleton and Nick Moraitis.
Yeah, had a lot of fun with Singo. I remember when I won the slipper on Haha, he crash tackled me in the mountain yard. I thought he was going to put my hips out. But he's been great to ride for Singo. He's great to talk to. He's a good winner. Yeah. He's not a bad loser. He tried to sack me a couple of times, but the old boomerang kept coming back.
He keeps coming back, just like he is with Gay at the moment. Let's go to Gary. Good morning to you, Gary.
Yeah, mate. I just wanted to say, Jimmy, I used to back you all the time. I remember meeting you probably 30 years ago or 20-odd years ago. You said if I had $5 at every ride, I'd stay ahead and be able to pay the rent, and I have.
That's it.
Yeah, you could sit 10 wide and still win. You're a great jockey, but people don't understand how intelligent you are. You know, you're a great jockey, you know. But I remember one time in 1999, you're down on your luck. You come to me and said, listen, I need a saying for Spring Carnival. It was a week of the Caulfield Cup, and I said, ringy ding ding, the pump is the king, and you rode four winners that day on Bonanova. I can remember that horse.
Yeah, Bonanova won the last at Caulfield that day.
That's
the Emirates,
right. I was there
one of the two,
you.
Yeah.
Right. The king was back.
Yeah.
And then the following year in the autumn carnival, you sort of needed a new saying. I was clickety-clack, the pump is back.
That's it.
And then the following spring carnival, Ben's, he said, I need something different. I said, another group won, the pump is not done. And Jimmy said, look, I left school when I was 12. I wouldn't be able to remember it.
Here's another one to all them listeners out there that want a quick check. Ring-a-ding-ding. Give us a ring.
That's it. That's it. Do it now. 13:53:53. Good on you, Gary.
Good on you, Gaz.
Going through those calls on the number 13:53:53, here's Terry. Morning, Terry.
Yeah, good day, Andrew and Jimmy.
Morning, Terry.
Listen, mate, this is one that you'll remember. You have to dig deep into the vault.
Yep.
We're at Warwick Farm. Me and my big mate were putting the signs up on the winning post.
Yep.
And you come past in a previous race and got beat, a lip.
Yep.
And I give you a bit of a burn, and you looked at me, dark, and we winked at each other. You went back in, you come back out, won the Chibby Norton or the Warwick Stakes on rare form for Mayfield Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, as you come back, I said, how's that, ya? For want of a better word, we'll say mongrel.
Yeah.
And I said, good on you, Jimbo. Little did you know, I bit me boss for 50.
Yeah, that's it. I hope you turned it into plenty.
What was that, Jim?
I said, I hope you turned the 50 into plenty.
Well, we bumped each other again that night at Le Mondo's.
Oh,
at,
yes.
The steakhouse.
I reckon we might just finish it there, Terry. You never know what's coming up next. But
it's good as gold, Andy. And I said, Jimmy walked in with Larry. and there was a big do on or something. We knew Lamondo. We were from Manly, and God rest his soul, he's gone now. But
yeah, Mondy.
You sat right opposite me, Jimbo, and you said, "I know your head." And I was St. Peter for 30 seconds. I said, "No, you don't." But you're a good bloke, Jimmy, and good luck to you.
Thank you very
good
much.
Good on you, Terry. Much well done. Thanks for calling in. 13:53:53. I tell you, you'll get nervous about a few of these now, aren't you? You never know what's going to come up.
You never know what's going to come up.
Let's go to George, another George. Morning, George.
Good morning, Sullivan. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, Jimmy. After your writing career, I'm just going to ask you if you remember this. You were singing at my 40th. I was wondering if you want to team up as a duo.
Oh, gee. I'm a good singer, aren't I?
Mate, you were doing ABBA unbelievable, mate.
It was obviously after 10 o'clock.
It was after 10 o'clock, son. I just want to wish you all the best, you and your family, and God bless, mate. It won't be the same without you on the track.
Thank you very much, George. Yeah, I'm certainly missing it already, but settling into other things, hopefully.
Good on you, George. Thanks for your call, mate.
Thank you, George.
13:53:53. There's people fading up here. They've got some. You are more than a cheeky jockey, aren't you? You get out there and party at night and start singing. What was the song? Fernando or something?
Fernando or something, yeah. I don't know how that come out. But no, look, I love getting out there mixing it with the people, mate.
Let's go to Michael as we take plenty of calls this morning with Jim Cassidy. 13:53:53 is the number. Morning to you, Michael.
Good morning. Ring a ring ding. The papa retires as the king.
Yeah, good on you, buddy.
Mate, I just want to thank you for all the great times I've had as a, not only got into racing as a two-ball punter maybe 10 years ago, but I'll never forget the race, mate, with Desert Wall, where you just, I can't remember what bloody race it was for the life of me, but you just took off and the swoopers started coming, but you had such a lead, mate, but it was a major race. I just can't bloody remember it, but it just stands out for me. Like, I know you've had bigger group ones and everything, but that race just stands out for me, and I just wish I wish you all the best, mate, in retirement, and thank you for introducing me to my first couple of wins.
Oh, good on you. Thank you. Keep punting and keep safe.
Do you remember the Desert War?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Trained by Gay.
Yeah, Gay. Yeah,
another Guri colours.
Yeah, and another tough horse.
Oh, he was a tough horse. You could get out and let him bowl along and... Yeah. Like all gays, they dig deep when the chips are down.
When they're in trouble, for sure. Let's go to Chris. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Chris.
Jim, you might remember this. You won a Melbourne Cup on a horse called Kiwi a long time ago.
I did, yeah.
No, I think you do remember. And I just really have a question for you. Your weight, you've never had a problem with weight. When you won the Cup on Kiwi, do you remember what you weighed and what the horse was given, allocated in weights, the difference?
Yeah, he carried 52 kilos. I rode him in about a 3-pound saddle. I was about 48.5, 49 back then.
So did you actually build up weight, or you just, did you try and put on weight before the race, or what?
Oh, no.
You were a natural 48.
I was natural 48 then, but I still do done all my exercises, and I think I left Flemington fortnight ago. I got to the races, Oaks Day, I was about 51.5, so the weight's been good, but something I've always worked hard at, dedicated, turn up, do the job right, and get out there and be hungry.
What's the heaviest you've ever ridden at, do you think?
Walking around, I got to about 57 kilos when I had a few injuries.
Mm. So when you've had time off, that's, and obviously you're not doing what you're meant to be doing.
No, eat, drink, bacon and eggs for breakfast,
yeah.
Leg of lamb for dinner, enjoy life.
Yeah, no, I understand. Good on you, Chris. Great,
Chris.
I'm glad someone brought up Kiwi, because it's the obvious, but 1983, the way it won and everything like that. I mean, it was 10-1, so it was in the market to win the Melbourne Cup. But when you came around the bend, you would have been just, well, tell us, what were you thinking around the bend? Did you think you were capable of winning it?
I've never been so confident of winning a race in all my life. That was in 83. And I think until I retired outside, your great horses, it was a race. I know it was the Melbourne Cup, but I was so focused. I had the right horse to do it.
Yeah.
He was relaxed in the mounting yard. I can recall Snowy Lupton standing there smoking a roll-your-own cigarette.
Yeah.
I looked around and seen Bart and Tommy and Colin Hayes all standing there, casting their eye over their runners in the cup, and Snowy and me, we were just on cruise control.
Were you meant to ride him the year after?
Yes.
He was, and that was the controversial scratching where Snowy said he was the horse was fine and they scratched him.
Oh, look, I'd put me 34 years of racing on the line and say there was nothing wrong with him.
Yeah.
He went to Japan 6 weeks later and run sixth in the Japan Cup. So
yeah, yeah.
That was a good underarm, that one.
Yeah. 1353.53 is the underarm. Sorry, John. I'm a bit slow, but I've got it now with the cricket.
You've got it now, Ben.
Yeah, I'm a bit slow.
Underarm, eh?
Underarm. You Kiwis, you always hold on to things.
Well, you've tried to pinch Farlap. You've tried to pinch a few other good Kiwi things.
No, hang on. I talk to New Zealand radio every Saturday and Monday. And they're
honoured to have you on too, you know.
No, they are. They are. But I call you an Australian.
I call James McDonald
an Australian.
No, well, I'm very much a Kiwi.
Yeah.
I love Australia. It's been great to me.
Yep.
I've got the utmost respect for their sportsmen. And even their radio announcers like you, Mr. Bensley.
But you'll always be a Kiwi.
But you cut my toe or cut my finger, I bleed black and white.
I understand. Let's go to Nevin. Good morning, Nevin.
Yeah, good morning. Congratulations, Jimmy, on a great career.
Thank you, Nevin.
I just remember after you won the Melbourne Cup in 83, I was from New Zealand.
Yes.
And you rocked up to Bulls to do some trials, and I come from Bulls.
Yes.
And yeah, Mazda RX-7, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, a little brown RX-7, eh?
Yeah, a little brown RX-7.
How old was he then, Nevin?
Sorry?
How old was he then?
Oh, he's about the same age as me, I think, about 20 or something.
Yeah, I was only 20.
I could see you with hair swinging down driving the car.
I had that mullet blowing out the window.
I was just helping my mate who's a trainer, and we pulled up, had a trial day, and you pulled up in your brand new Mazda RX-7. I said, well, that's probably the only last time I won the Melbourne Cup. So,
I had to have a good car then because I was doing plenty of driving around from one end of New Zealand to the other. But no, they were the great times.
Yeah, and how long after that did you come to Australia?
1st of August 1984, I kicked off in Sydney.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't too far away from after you won the Melbourne Cup, actually.
Yeah, it was the following year.
Yeah.
No, very good. No, it's been a great career, mate, and I've enjoyed watching you racing and hope you have a good life after that. So.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your support and great to hear them stories.
Good on you. Thanks, Nevin.
Thank you, Nevin.
Thank you very much.
Nevin there, 1353.53. We are going to have to take a ad break here shortly. We do have ads that we've got to play, but the switchboard's lit up this morning. I'm looking out at poor Ash, the producer. She's virtually lying on the floor. She's taken so many calls. But 1353.53, let's go to Chris. Morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well, mate.
That's the way. I'm just ringing to say what a great career Jimmy Cassidy's had, and he's just a legend of the sport, and he'll be sadly missed. And there won't be many like you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Humper, you're a champion.
Thank you very much.
What made him special to you, Jim? Was there a good win along the way?
Oh, mate, I've just followed him all my life. I love the racing game, and just I'm a battler, but, you know, love the punt, and when you get on Jimmy Cassidy, you know you're going to be in the money. You know, like.
Well, that's what we tried to do. Give every give all the punters a good run for their money.
You're just a legend, and Kiwi. That was the win of a lifetime. That one. That was back when I'm a little bit older than you, mate. Not much, but you're just you'll be sadly missed. I'll say that much.
Good on you, Chris.
Good on you. Thanks, Chris.
You're the heart and soul of racing, mate.
Thank you. There's plenty of good people out there, and there'll be
bloody hope there is. Oh, come on, sorry. There is.
You can say bloody these days, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think so.
Good on you, Chris.
You know, it's just your career, mate, has been sensational. For someone to ride 100-plus Group 1 winners and all the rest, you know, like you're a great front-running rider, you're something behind you. You just know how to do it, mate.
Thank you. I've had plenty of good teachers and been watching plenty of superstars throughout my life myself.
There's a few about, but not many as good as you, mate.
I appreciate that.
You're the best of them.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, Chris. Thanks for phoning in, mate.
My pleasure.
Good on you. We'll take some more calls after this. 1353.53. It's 16 to 10.
Grabbed by Noble Comet and Mr. Jazz. Mr. Jazz, Noble Comet, Kiamare clear. Veloso making some sort of a run, and Kiwi late. It's going to be close here. Kiwi's going to beat them all with a mighty run.
Calls 1353.53. Shannon is first up in this bracket. Morning to you, Shannon.
Hey, guys.
Jimmy. Morning, Shannon. How are you, mate?
Mate, on a great career.
Thank you.
Mate, I've got a question for you. I want to know what's the one horse that you wish you would have been able to throw a leg over but you were never able to when you can't say Black Caviar?
Can't say Black Caviar? MacIvy Diva.
MacIvy?
Yeah, she was an outstanding stayer. We know what she'd done and, yeah, I would have loved to have just had a burn round on her. Mm. She was, unfortunately... Black Caviar and MacIvy Diva, they both got nice behinds because that's all I've seen of them.
Yeah, they're strong, aren't they?
Yeah, big, strong girls they were, the pair of them.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, good on you, Shannon. Thanks for your call, mate.
Cheers.
Thanks, Shannon.
From Shannon, we go to line, I'm just going to check whether it's line 10. I think it is. Yeah, we'll go to Julie. Morning to you, Julie.
Good morning, boys.
Morning, Hello. Julie.
Good morning, Jimmy. Thanks for all the memories. I really appreciate everything in my life. The one day when I was down, I'd go to the tab and I'd put $2 on Jimmy and he'd get me home. I knew he would.
Oh, good on you, love. That's great to hear.
I've never met you, but through the years, the last 30 years, you know, my contacts, like, from my family, because my brother was editor of The Sportsman.
Yes.
And I've got a nephew, Ray Hickson, it's at The Telegraph, and they always keep me... been sending me presents and things and hats. I had a hat when I turned 40, it come from you, and I had, you know, Jimmy.
Oh, good on it. That's great to hear.
Even my dog's named after you, Jimmy.
Ah, oh, that's beautiful.
What's the dog's name? Pumper?
No, he's called Jimmy.
He's called Jimmy. Jimmy. What sort of dog is it, Julie?
Black and white.
Ah, that's it. You must be a Kiwi. You got a bit of Kiwi, eh?
As soon as I saw him, I said, oh, he's black and white. He has to be in New Zealand. I'll call him Jimmy.
Call him Jimmy. Oh, that's beautiful, darling.
Oh, thank you very much for everything in my life because, you know, I used to pick up the paper and the first thing I'd do is Mark, J.A. Cassidy. And that's what I bet. I've never had a bet on anyone else but you in my whole life.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's very touching.
And I thought, what am I going to do without my Jimmy?
Well, you can follow. He's given us the mail to follow Jay McDonald, being another Kiwi.
Yeah, follow that Jay McDonald.
Yeah, but it's not the same, Jim. It'll never be the same. My husband and I used to have a little competition. He was a Shane Dye fan, and I was a Jim Cassidy fan. If you're ever in a battle, Jimmy's got it.
Yeah, that pumper would get it home over top of Billy Idol.
All right, good on you, Jill.
Thank you, darling.
Good on you.
All the best, darling.
Thank you.
Julie there. Listeners, I want you to be aware that Jim is talking on air, but he's I'm not making you emotional, but hearing these, I think, is giving you a feel of what our listeners who are punters feel about you, mate. So you should be very proud of what people are saying this morning. Let's go to Alan. Morning to you, Alan.
Morning, boys. How are you? Jimmy, especially to you.
Good morning, Alan.
Hey, mate. Sensational career, mate. I've followed you for a long time as well, and... I can't thank you enough. I want a fair bit of cash out of you, so you might have to revise that post office box number there, mate.
Thank you.
Listen, I've got one question for you.
Yes.
Tell Hoss to give you a job on Sky Channel.
You reckon?
Yeah. No, we were discussing that prior to 9 o'clock. Actually, he wants to go and meet the boss after we come off air. Is it something? In all seriousness, is it something? I guess what you're saying, Alan, is that we don't want to use the qualities, the talent that you've got over the 34 years of writing.
Yeah,
don't look at me with a little smirky smile. I'm being serious.
When I see that beautiful Armani suit that you sit in the studio with, I might come and work for Sky.
I've got a pair of jeans and a shirt on. Hey, I mean, do you want to do media?
Oh, look, I'll certainly do something, Hoss. And, like, I've been around the game for so long. Yeah. I want to be able to put something back. It's given me an enormous amount of fun, enormous amount of luck, and it'd be nice to put something back in for sure.
We'll have to see, Alan, whether we can organise something. But we thank you for your call, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Would you consider training?
Not at this stage, no.
Not off the reaction of his face, Alan. I think it's too much hard work.
I don't have to be taking on Chris Waller and John O'Shea and Gay. Thanks very much.
Well, good luck. All the best to you and your family, mate.
Thank you so much, and to you.
From Alan, let's go to Michael, who's our next here at 9:55. Morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Andrew and Jimmy. Congratulations,
good
Jim.
Thank you so much.
Did you ride that flitter?
I did ride Flitter. I won a Coolmore Stakes and a Doomben 10,000.
Show that. Oh, that'd be last $10 on them. I'm talking about him, kick.
Yeah.
Hey, good on you, mate.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
There's no better way than talking, though, through your back pocket, Michael.
Oh, mate, I'm on Port Gamble Beach doing a bit of jogging now, so I love it.
Well, keep fit. That's a way to keep fit.
Good on you, Michael.
Take
thanks.
After you, mate. You're a good influence.
Thank you so much.
Good on you. Thanks, mate. Michael joining us there. We've only got 5 minutes to go here, but we've got a still few to go. Jason is joining us now. Morning to you, Jace.
How you going, Jimmy?
Good, Jason. How are you, mate?
Oh, mate, you're a gun. That's all I can say.
Oh, thank you.
Just got a story to just quickly say. I remember legging you up onto a horse there at Wallace one morning back in February.
Yes.
And you've jumped on and you've gone, geez, Mr. Wallace sure has bought a better rein than this. And I've turned around to you and I've said, mate, with your hands, you're pretty right. And you just start laughing.
Yeah. Sometimes I've had hands like feet, but most of the time the hands are gone all right.
The gentle, yeah, beautiful.
That's it, mate. All right, all the best.
Thank you so much.
Like I said, you're a good bloke.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
much
Jason.
Appreciate it.
Let's go to, just waiting for the next call to pop up here. It's Luke. Good morning to you, Luke.
Morning, Ben. Bump, how are you?
Yeah, good, Luke.
Mate, I've followed you all my life, really. But the one ride that comes to mind for me is Steps in Time in the Coolmore Classic.
Yeah, we pulled their pants down that day, didn't we?
Yeah, mate, I thought it was, fantastic ride just to take off and catch me if you can.
Yeah, no, I backed Joe Pride's, I backed his thoughts and backed the mayor's ability and put a little bit of my own courage in there and done something different. So that's what it's all about. It was a great result to come up trumps from them owners and certainly for Joe Pride.
Just on that, Luke, and I'll take it a step further with you, Jim. Explain this to our listeners. I mean, you obviously in your brain are now rated how quick or slow you're going. What's the concept?
Well, quickly, the instance that day that the mayor drew out, she was always going to be competitive. But for her to win, I had to get cheap sectional somewhere. I had to be left alone because she races on speed or likes to lead. So the softer lead I got, the quieter time I got doing that on my own in front, coming to the 700, I had half a tank of gas left. So I thought I can burn quarter of it, 600 to the 100, and back my own ability to lift to the last 100. And I was able to do that. I think it was Philly Gaze that run second, James McDonald Road, and I thought she was the one to beat. Just can't think of a name at the sec. But I deliberately got her off the bit between the 600 and the 400. Had a James gone with me, he would have beat me, but he elected to wait, and that was the difference of winning and losing.
You got it. Good on you, Luke. Good memories there, mate.
Thank you.
Thanks,
one
Luke.
One more thing, if that's all right.
Yeah, briefly,
what?
Yep.
Where's Martin Power? Is that right? Yes, the thing to him drew like one potato, two potato for your sectional?
Yeah. After I won the Caulfield Cup on him, I used to go $1, $2, $100. He was a machine. Happening till.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, brother.
Luke. Luke, with some great memories. I mean, we've spoken about Kiwi. I mean, how good was Martin Power? I mean, was he?
He could break their hearts. I quickly remember winning a two-win Metro race on him at Canterbury over 1900. And I actually said to Nick Moratis, I said, and Jack, I said, he's the best Caulfield Cup horse I've ever seen this. Because he could lead, he could run time. Yeah. He was only a three-year-old then coming through the grades. But he just had it written all over him. Yeah. He was a big boy. He was enthusiastic. He'd get out. And it was only that I led on him in the Caulfield Cup that really showed that
He had it.
He had it because there was no point in taking that brilliance off him. No. Let him roll and do his thing.
Yeah, he had that kick at the end, those remarkable wins. 11:30 on Saturday, you'll be getting to Rose Hill. You'll be near the Todman statue at Rose Hill to do autographs and things early. You've got your luncheon. At about 2:30, you'll be in the Rose Hill Mounting Yard and you'll be making a speech and, again, the opportunity that our audience and the racing folk can farewell you. I hope in some way maybe Sky can do something with you, Jim. The reaction to you this morning has showed us that the people out there love you. On behalf of everyone that's listening this morning, we thank you for all that you did in racing for the 34 years that you busted your body and you toiled hard and you graced success 104 times in Group 1 races from Kiwi through to the very end. And being inducted into Hall of Fames in your home country of New Zealand and here in Australia. It's been one hell of a ride for you. I know that there will be a book. We haven't even had time to discuss that possibility of a book, but maybe next year that will be out.
Yep.
One final thing I've got to say is that next week, I wish you the best. Listeners, Jim is playing in a Pro-Am golf for a big tournament out here in Sydney. And you're playing maybe with Adam Scott or with Darren Clark, and you're a bit toey about it, Jim.
I'm sweating in the palms. Look, that's to be confirmed today, but there's every possibility that I'll be doing that. And just quickly, I'd like to thank everyone at Sky and yourself, Ben.
Just before you do that, Jim, Brett Devine's online from the Australian Turf Club, and then we can say farewell. Brett, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good morning to all the punters, and a special good morning to the pumper. What a legend, eh? And as you say, I've been listening all morning to the show, and what an indication of how well Jimmy's thought of, not only by the industry, but all the punters, importantly, out there. And look, we're really looking forward to farewelling Jimmy out there on Saturday. You've mentioned quite a few things there, Benz. We'll have him there from about 11:15 for members and the public when they walk in through the Might and Power gates. He'll sign autographs. We've got I Love Pumper caps. All sorts of things there to sign and give away. We should also ask people to have a look on Facebook, have a look on Twitter. You can enter a competition, and those that are the person that's been judged as the most favourite memory, the best memory of Jimmy, will win a special signed photo of Dissident, his very last Group 1 win out here at Royal Randwick. All through the day, as you say, he'll be up there in the function room with the ACC and his family and friends, but of course at about 2:30, 2:40, we'll also farewell him publicly downstairs, big things on the big screen. And he'll get a chance to say farewell to all the punters, but also to all these friends in the industry. Jimmy, really looking forward to hosting you on Saturday. We congratulate you, we salute you, and what a fun day it'll be getting out to the track.
Yeah, can't wait. I just want to let the public know that turn up on Saturday and I'll be there, and I'll be spending most of my time out there with the punters and the public to say thank you to them.
Yeah, fantastic. Good on you, Brett. We'll talk more about it over the next few days. Thanks for phoning in, mate.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you so much.
Brett Devine from the Australian Turf Club. So it's all happening at Rosehill on Saturday. We've gone through it and you'll hear it over the station over the next few days. But the first opportunity will be around 11:30 at the Todman Statute when people arrive. Now, Jim, I've said everything about, in some words, about your career. I followed you as a young lad coming through, and I've loved racing, and you've always been there. It won't be the same without Jim Cassidy, but hopefully we can work something out that we might pay you an earner and come in occasionally and do something with us. But I'll let you wrap up this morning, because this is your opportunity.
Yeah, look, Andrew, sincerely, I'm very overwhelmed of what's going to happen on Saturday. I can't wait to get out there to be able to say thank you to all the people in the industry, that from strappers to trainers to owners, to friends, to people that have just had their $2 or whatever. It's been a great ride. I've been lucky that I've had the support that I've had throughout Australia. It's going to be a special day. It'll be sad, and I'm sure I'll have a tear in the eye. But to everybody at Sky that has supported me for a long, long, long time throughout my career in Sydney, even back to me mate Duff, we started off jockeys managers.
Yep.
Everything you've done, Benz.
Yeah.
And
a good mate. I don't want to make you emotional. So
no,
I'm
was
going to
say it anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
but Nick Robin was a very close. Yours.
Yeah, he was a great mate. I've got a photo of him at home. He emceed my wedding with Vic, and I actually went and seen him, talked to him before I went to Melbourne to say I was finishing up, and yes, very special man, and I'll be thinking of him on Saturday at Rosehill when I'm standing there.
You mentioned Vicky. We better mention her because we haven't. I know she's listening at home. Vicky has been a great asset for you along the way, the whole family, the Cassidy family. But I've become close to Vicky. I drove you down to a function in Gippsland, Victoria, that you didn't. Where in the bloody hell are we going here? Was Jimmy's line. It took us about 3.5 hours when it should have taken us 2 hours. But that's where I got to know Vicky, and she's been a great friend of mine since. She organised this morning for you to come in and be a part of it. So good on you, Vicky. You enjoy Saturday. And, Jim, we thank you for coming in this morning.
Thanks so much, mate. Thank you very much.
Jim Cassidy joining us. We'll be back tomorrow morning for Racing HQ. And after the break, it's Tab Talk. Might and Power.
Power, the leader inside the 200. Two lengths in front of Linesman. And Doremus on the outside. Might and Power, the leader. Doremus trying hardest, coming at him. Might and Power and Doremus. Doremus getting to Might and Power. They hit the line. Photo. Oh, nothing between them. Doremus or Might and Power in a close go. Photo third, either Markham or Harbour Dews is there. Back behind those linesmen, Greg Hall is...